Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon Delight.
Let's go hour number three on a Friday. Hope you're having a good one. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. We're at The Rock, 114 East Main Street in Round Rock. And come on out. The Horn Bash passes are here for you. A lot of nice folks have come by to say hello. We do appreciate that. It is one of the coolest parts of this job. Shout out to Daryl, the Ohio State fan that came up and said hi. I told him my magical coin has picked his team to win the national title, so I'm really nice. Rooting for those Buckeyes
I'm
tonight.
Sure that meant a lot. He did have a D's Nuts yes. shirt on, but yeah, he's a big fan. Yeah, grab him.
That was fantastic.
And then also Jared, who's standing there right now. This guy is all over the app. He texts every show all the time, and yet he still has an attractive wife. Is that wife, girlfriend?
Wife.
You even married? She even married you. Wow. Okay.
Isn't that fantastic?
You're a good-looking dude. I just saw the text line, and I just figured that you are killing us all the time.
See, it's proof. People say this is not possible. It's proof you can have a healthy marriage and have a relationship with us at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's possible. It is possible to do. So definitely thanks for everybody for coming out and saying hello today and that you listen to the station and the show. We do appreciate you. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and talk to Anwar Richardson of OrangeBloods.com. Haven't spoken to him in a while, but we wanted to catch up. Anwar, how are you?
What's up, man? I'm not feeling the love. I'm not feeling the love,
Bam.
Guys.
That's okay. That's because we haven't been given much of it. But we'll give you some. We're going to give you some love.
We're right. Given love. We need to give love.
We were cool. We were cool. It's like we used to date, and it's kind of like we broke up, and we're just kind of checking out each other on Facebook, but we're not really talking to each other. It's okay.
I know.
Maybe a late night text here or there.
The sad thing.
Yeah,
the
just
sad
like, thing. Hey, what are you doing? That's usually the drunk text.
What's up? So that what it was today? Like, is that like me texting you up? Is that what it was?
Yeah,
is that basically
exactly
what it was?
That was your drunk text. You were like, hey, Anwar, you want to come on radio with us? I'm like, oh, he's drunk. Got it.
Oh, that is so sad. We gotta be better. All right, man. So before we get into the football, do you care about this basketball tournament at all? Do you fill out brackets? Do you have like multiple brackets going on?
No, one bracket, and I fill out. But I stay in my lane. I name it the Anwar's Last Place Bracket, and I do it for a reason because I know that more than likely, I'm that guy who fills out his bracket. And, like, off day one and day two, I'm killing it. But then, like, Sunday rolls around, and then the next day rolls, like, the Thursday rolls around, and I'm totally done. Usually the people who do the best in brackets, you guys notice because you work in an office place, are people who don't know a lot about sports, who don't overanalyze it. It's like when I work in the newsroom, it's always, like, the food writer or the movie critic. They just pick on colors and names, and they absolutely kill it. But us sports guys, we overanalyze it, and we totally do horrible.
I think there's a lot to that. I've seen that in the bowl pick'ems, too. Anwar, looking at this Texas football team, I know that you're probably hearing some names and hearing guys that are showing well right now. I've heard Joshua Moore, heard Jared Wiley. Want to get your take on them, but also who else? I mean, who else are you hearing that's doing a pretty good job?
So when you hear about Joshua Moore, right, one thing you hear about is his speed and Sam Ellinger getting adjusted to his speed. Like, that's the one thing that it seems like Texas is going to have a little bit more of is having speed guys, especially in that slot position. The name I hear the most that if you were going to buy low and sell high is Joseph Asai. Like, the guy, as a linebacker position, I keep hearing that Joseph Asai is just a total beast mode. Like, people tell me that this guy is going to be something special. So I hear a ton, honestly, about him. Obviously, you guys know about the cornerbacks and how those guys have been performing. But Joseph Asai is a guy that I hear a lot of, and I just hear people that they just gush over him when they start speaking about him.
Talking with Anwar Richardson, OrangeBloods.com. Anwar, I checked out your the pulpit, the Sunday pulpit article, if people don't know about it, on OrangeBloods.com. Definitely check that out on Sundays. I was reading last week's, and you were talking about the positivity around the program, and I started thinking, you certainly covered this team during the Charlie years when things were not near this positive. How different is it? How different is this positivity for you right now around this team?
You know, it's the difference is every year I felt like everyone was telling me what they felt like they should say. Like they felt like they should say, like, hey, we had a barbecue and everything's going great. Or, hey, you know, Shane Bouchel is killing it on the ping pong table and this team somehow is going to be great. But what you really hear of now is more of things that have been instituted. So it starts first and foremost with Yancey McKnight, the off-season program that he's put together. And listen, every coach thinks that their strength and conditioning coach is amazing. But you guys know, you hear about the results, like you hear about the gains that these guys make in the weight room in the off-season, and you understand that, okay, these guys are truly legit is because of what Yancey McKnight is able to do, right? And then there is that you really think about, like, this is Tom Herman. This is year three. So you've got guys who have been in this system for three straight years who are understanding what to do, they're understanding expectations. You guys truly remember year one, it was all about getting guys used to doing more, getting guys used to practicing harder and the expectations of how to go harder and P-charts and all these type of things. And right now, all that stuff is already in place, where you have freshmen coming in and you have the upperclassmen saying, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, and they understand it. Now, look, it helps when you're coming off a Sugar Bowl victory, 10 wins. It helps when you have a guy like Sam Ehlinger, who's arguably the best quarterback going into the Big 12. Like, it also helps when you have a coaching staff that has been together for the past 3 years. Obviously, Herb Hand comes in a little bit later, but you have a coaching staff overall that's been together for 3 years, and they've heard the same message. You're not having that same turnover that you had in the Charlie Strong era. So all those things help to where we are at right now. But it is totally different. The vibe is totally different. The message is totally different. And when you speak to people inside the building, they're talking like, okay, I won't say it's plug and play at this moment, but it's getting close to plug and play, where everyone understands what needs to be done, what they need to do, and it's getting to that point where people say, okay, this is the Tom Herman program, the Texas program, and we do this.
What about some of the younger guys that are coming in early? What have you heard about them, and physically, what do they look like?
Well, you hear a lot of good things about Tyler Johnson, you know, as far as guy who comes to be in an offensive line. Here's the potential for him to contribute early. Roshan Johnson is a guy that I've heard a lot of positive things about. Look, he's still learning at the quarterback position, but I found it really interesting when Sam Ehlinger spoke this past week. Sam Ehlinger talked about how impressed he was with Roshan Johnson and how he was a guy that he really wanted to pour into. It's not to say that Sam is not going to pour into anyone else, but he really singled out Roshan Johnson, what he's able to do. Obviously, you guys know Brew McCoy. Everyone says he's the real deal. Everyone says that he's the guy that can contribute early. And the guy that you guys got to keep an eye on, you know, you guys know me. I was on that Chris Warren III fan club. And I was trying to be the president of that fan club for years, kind of flamed out in his junior year. But Jordan Whittington, he's that guy that everyone's looking to. You got to remember, this is a program that didn't have offensive play for over 50 yards last year. They're looking for people to step up and become playmakers. Jordan Whittington in that backfield is a guy that has that potential to step up and become a playmaker. Him with Keontae Ingram, him with Brew McCoy. You know, I've heard nothing but good things about the young guys, and no one's saying, hey, these guys are crumbling and struggling or they're trying to figure out. They say, hey, they're young, they got to piece it together, but everyone feels really good about those young guys, and specifically some of the guys that I've mentioned.
Talking with Anwar Richardson, orangebloods.com. Check him out on Twitter, at Anwar Richardson. Anwar, you mentioned Roschon Johnson. The only thing I think better for Texas fans in a good old-fashioned quarterback controversy is a quarterback controversy when they already know absolutely who the starter is. So is it overcooked to talk about Johnson and to talk about Thompson and really say, okay, there's a battle there at backup? Do you think that's overcooked to say we're going to have a battle for the backup spot?
Well, first of all, again, you guys are experts in this. When was the last time that Texas fans can say they felt good about the quarterback position, that they felt confident about it? And you probably have to go back to the Colt McCoy days where you say, you know for sure that's that dude. Because since then, it's just been a lot of a coin flip and hoping for the best. So the fact that they have Sam Ehlinger, who's going to be the guy for at least the next 2 years, right? You got him. And then I say at least, I apologize, the next 2 years. And then after that, you have Casey Thompson and Roschon Johnson. The only question mark as far as the quarterback position there is for me is this. Casey Thompson is the backup quarterback, not because he went out, fought, and earned it, but basically there's no one else left in the room. So, you know, you had Cameron Risen leave. You had Shane Buechele leave. And so he was a guy who was a four-string guy who now gets elevated to the backup guy, essentially through attrition. So what I need to see and I want to see is the Casey Thompson who says, hey, forget about attrition. I am the backup guy. Because here's the thing, one thing that you guys know, the way that Sam Ehlinger plays and his brand of football, it has led to injuries. It has led to injuries not only in high school, but it's led to injuries for him when he's been here over the last couple of years. So you need to know that the backup quarterback is the guy that if Sam Ehlinger has to miss a quarter, if Sam Ehlinger has to miss a half, if Sam Ehlinger for some chance has to miss a game, that backup quarterback could come in and be adequate enough. You felt like at least Shane Buechele could come in and at least he'd be adequate. You didn't feel like he was going to be a superstar, but at least you know what you can get. So I don't think you can overcook the battle as far as the backup position, because Casey Thompson was a four-string guy and you have Roschon Johnson, who's a freshman. I don't think you'll have those answers in the spring. I think you'll have more of those answers when training camp begins in late July and August. But it's still a battle worth watching. I think at the end of the day, Casey Thompson, especially since he's burned the redshirt year, is going to end up being the backup guy, but he just has to be a guy that proves that he's worthy of being the backup.
It would almost be impossible for the offensive staff not to have better personnel or the best personnel they've had since they've been here. I mean, that should fit. They're going to have a lot to work with. Defensively, lots of talent, but Anwar, I mean, we've talked about the linebacking situation. Is the defensive line exactly who's going to be there? What are they talking about with their front especially and how it's going to fit with what Todd wants to do?
Well, you know, you guys hear a lot about the Keandre Colburns and what he's able to do. And you hear about Malcolm Roach and what he's able to do. But to your greater point, you have guys who are unproven at that position. You have guys who are unproven at the defensive line position who don't have a lot of starts. You have, you know, listen, they love Taquan Graham, but you have to see him progress also. And again, we talk about the linebacker position. Again, a lot of unproven guys. This is where Todd Orlando, this is where he makes his money, right? I mean, this is where Todd Orlando has to get the most out of those guys. This is where Oscar Giles has to get the most out of his guys. When you look at Oscar Giles, you say, look, if you give him the benefit of the doubt, you would say, okay, 2-4, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Last year, Charles Omeniu, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. So you say to yourself, okay, give Oscar Giles the benefit of the doubt. You clearly have faith in Todd Orlando. There's a lot of question marks within that front seven, what those guys are going to do right now. Again, when camp gets started, and again, it kind of sucks because we had camp for a week, and then all of a sudden we had a week off, and now we get the next few weeks. So we got to see how those guys progress. Because the one thing we know when it comes to Tom Herman, for the most part, he likes to have everything kind of determined as far as his depth chart after spring camp. He's willing to let battles go into training camp, but for the most part, he's not a guy that wants people to come to him in training camp and say, hey, coach, I want to battle for this position. He's the guy that wants people and these positions to be settled so they can work towards it, you know, in the off season and going forward. So I think we'll have a lot more answers by the time that spring football is done.
Talking with Anwar Richardson of OrangeBloods.com. Anwar, pardon me, a slight curveball question for you, but not only do you cover Texas now, not only do you cover Texas now, but you have covered the NFL in the past, and obviously you got to see Kyler Murray. As we sit here 34 days from the NFL draft, would you take Kyler Murray with the first pick in the NFL draft and put everything around him?
Absolutely, yes. And here's the reason why. Because in the NFL, you have a certain amount of teams that have what you consider your franchise quarterback, right? You have Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. You have New England with the Tom Brady. You have New Orleans, obviously, with Drew Brees. Maybe you could say you have Kansas City with their franchise quarterback. The Rams have their franchise quarterback, right? And then outside of that, and I apologize if I'm missing someone, then you just have a bunch of kind of like, okay, guys, that can get the job done. You know, your Matthew Stafford of the world. He's not going to win you a Super Bowl, but he's going to be adequate. And then once you get past that, you just got a bunch of Jags. You just got a bunch of guys who you just don't know what to get out of. And you know for sure that guy is not going to lead you to a Super Bowl. And the problem is, until you have a franchise quarterback, you don't have a franchise quarterback. And that's why you have to keep drafting one until you finally nail on one. That's why people make fun of the Cleveland Browns, and people say, oh, the Cleveland Browns, all they ever done is draft quarterbacks. But you have to continue drafting quarterbacks until you find your quarterback. So now Cleveland finally has Baker Mayfield, and they put some talent around him, and you say, that's your guy. You know, you look in, and so that's why I would say I would look at Kyler Murray. And I just think if you're a team like Arizona, you can't afford to stick your nose up at a guy and say, I don't know if he's going to be my franchise guy. You have to look at him and say, you know what? We don't have a franchise guy. Josh Rosen is not our franchise guy. So we have to continue drafting people until we get one. So that's why I would take him number one overall.
Anwar, how big is his pro day for some of these Texas guys? You know, little Jordan still wants to try and run a better time. I know Charles does too. And then Chris Boyd didn't have a great senior day. It does seem like they can all do something for themselves.
Overrated.
Gotcha.
At the end of the day, NFL teams, this is why I find the combine hilarious. I find a pro day hilarious. Because at the end of the day, every team always goes back to the film. The most important thing that teams rely upon is the film. They're not looking at what a guy does in shorts or in tights. They're looking at what a guy does when the film comes on, right? So yeah. I always point back to like a guy like Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden, when he was at the NFL Combine, he ran a very slow 40 time. But he ended up being a first-round pick. Because at the end of the day, the teams look at the film. Every player is going to run a faster 40 at their pro day. Every single one. Like, you're not – it would be impossible not to run a faster 40 at your pro day. So the pro days are overrated. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy for some people. The combine, quite honestly, is about getting medicals and about doing interviews. But at the end of the day – film trumps anything that's going to happen. And so, yes, little Jordan Humphrey, he's going to run faster, but little Jordan Humphrey is not going to run a 4.4. He's not going to run a 4.5. Like, he's not going to prove it to that degree. At the end of the day, teams are going to look at his film. And so, look, it's going to be a good workout for some folks. It is going to be a good opportunity for them to get some eyes. But are there going to be 10 NFL scouts out here? No, because at the end of the day, and I'll say this real quick, you know, during the NFL season, NFL coaches, NFL GMs, for the most part, they don't watch a lot of college film. They're into the season. They're into what they need to do as far as the season goes. So when you hear stuff in September and October about, well, this guy could be a first-round pick or this guy could be a first-round pick, that's a scout who's telling you this. What happens is when you get outside of the season, that's when NFL coaches, assistant coaches, head coaches, GMs, that's when they start breaking down films. That's when they start having meetings. That's when they start determining their draft board. And then by the time they go to the combine, they already have an idea what their draft board is. Everything else is just about clearing the medical. So as far as the pro day is concerned, I would just say it's overrated. You're going to hear a lot of stuff. You're going to hear about a lot about 40 times, this and that. Don't believe the hype. At the end of the day, it's all about the film.
I love it. I hope you're right. I mean, I've always kind of been on that to where you can only take so much out of that. You make some excellent points. And really to back that up in terms of what you're saying, Anwar, about just one guy, Pat Mahomes was thought of as the 10th to 15th best quarterback in November. That changed when coaches started looking at stuff.
Correct. Like it is. So that's why I'm saying, like, it's scouts. And scouts are – I'm not trying to be disparaging towards scouts, but scouts are low level. Scouts are not even allowed, usually the majority of them, even in the draft room because yeah. they're considered to be low. Their job is to collect data, to provide it to the coaches, and the coaches will take that under consideration, but they will do their own eye test. So that's why you don't get caught up in that. It's about what the coaches say. And, look, there's a lot of – like, you know, drawing on my NFL experience, there's a lot of playing that goes around. There's coaches who never speak to a guy at the NFL Combine, who never interview a person at the NFL Combine, who end up drafting a person because they don't want to tip their hand. So you just, again, it's all going to boil down to film. It's going to be up to someone who looked at little Jordan Humphrey's film and feels like he's got the potential to do something great. Like, and look, if the saving grace for a little Jordan Humphrey would be Anquan Boldin. Like, Anquan Boldin at the combine, I think he ran like a 4.74, something crazy like that. He still ended up being a second round pick. I don't think little Jordan Humphrey's going to go that high. He doesn't have that body at work. But at the end of the day, people will always, always, always go back to the film and what they see more so than what they're going to see in the metrics, because they always think in their head, Jerry Rice didn't run a fast 40, but he ended up being one of the greatest receivers in NFL history, and that's what coaches will rely upon.
Yeah. Well, we all have the image of Tom Brady with a shirt off at the combine.
That's true.
Yes.
I try to keep that one out of my head. I try to put that one way out of my head.
He was Dad Bob before he ever was a dad.
Yeah.
He's got a better body now than he did then.
He absolutely does. There's no doubt about that. That's Anwar Richardson. Check out orangebloods.com. I mentioned the Sunday Pulpit article hits every Sunday at Anwar Richardson on Twitter. Anwar, have a great weekend, man. We appreciate it.
We'll talk soon, guys.
Yeah, all great right. stuff, man.
Good stuff as always. Anwar Richardson, orangebloods.com. I'm glad we got those questions in that kind of ties in college and the pros, because he did cover the NFL back in the day. And obviously one of those guys that doesn't put as heavy a weight on combine and pro days as some do.
Yeah, and I think most organizations are probably there. Some, you know, it changes depending on who's running it. But some I've seen obviously the last 10, 15 years that are probably into it too much. And this may be, you know, one of the mocks I was talking about earlier had Chris Boyd going 22nd overall in the second round to the Texans.
Okay.
I'm not sure the Texas/Texans fans would be overly jacked about that.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that would – maybe that wouldn't be the move in the second round. But like we said earlier, it just takes that one, right? One fit, one situation, maybe it could happen.
And that's what little Jordan's going to need. We all knew that he was not going to run an incredibly fast time. And people – you know, little Jordan's got to hope that everyone takes Anwar's approach and says, you know, what do you do with pads on? Let me turn on the film. And Anwar's exactly right about that. Coaches are going to be obviously much more into that than probably scouts are.
And I've heard that comparison with Anquan. With the Anquan Boldin angle.
Yeah.
That's the angle his people have to push. His agent pushed that idea that he will go make you football plays. Forget about the speed.
Yeah, and I would even show the punt return. Is it the punt return that got called back against Oklahoma?
Yes.
Big 12 championship?
Oh, I forgot about that.
When I first saw that, I thought, okay, if you're an agent, let's make sure when he runs his 4.7, which I kind of thought he would, with no pads on as a track guy, let's get that, because that's different football speed.
It's a good idea. All right, super late, but thanks to Anwar for his time. Coming up next, Big Three.
So late.
So late. Oh, my goodness. We'll update you on the tournament, Oregon and Wisconsin, going on right now, and some of those evening games about to tip off. A lot of stuff coming up here at The Rock, 114 East Main Street. We're out at 6:30 for Texas baseball, and this is The Horn. Friday, we'll get you some tournament updates coming up here in the Big Three. But first, Trey's got some new music for you, and this does not sound like Whitesnake, Trey. Or no, it's not Trey. Did somebody? Did we already switch out? Who's back there?
I think Trey's back there.
Well, I mean, we heard another voice. I'm not sure. I think Trey may be already gone.
You guys hear me there? No, this is actually me. Isaiah was filling in for a few seconds. This is Jade Bird. That's the artist's name. She's a very talented singer. Her new song is called My Motto.
Jade Bird. There you go. New music out on a Friday, including Whitesnake, kids. It's 2019. You're not listening to a best of show. Whitesnake has a new record today, so check that out. I don't even know if David Coverdale's still in the band. All right, let's get you a Big Three, and we'll start with the basketball tournament.
The Big Three.
The Big Three is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Quick reminder, about 25 minutes away from the Texas women tipping off their tournament. They play Indiana at 6. You can catch that action over on 105.3 The Bat. In the men's tournament, we have had another final just happen in the last few minutes, and it sets up a matchup for Texas Tech. They now know they will face Buffalo. Not much of a mystery in that game. Buffalo won it easily 91-74. Texas Tech wins earlier. Those two face off in the second round. We also know Virginia and Oklahoma will meet in the second round. Neither of those teams had a problem at all. Also, we did have that 13-4 upset with UC Irvine beating Kansas State. That happened earlier today. Also, Iowa and Tennessee got wins. So Rick Barnes' group will face Iowa in the second round. So far, no, knock on wood as I say this, no serious, real bracket-damaging results yet in the tournament.
No, I mean, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for good matchups this weekend. And so far, it looks like for what we can, we're going to get them. And there's some that I really like. Once again, I'll get back to Murray State and Florida State. I think people are going to enjoy that. I hope Baylor, and I think Baylor may give Gonzaga a game. Currently, who else? I'm glad Mekhi Mason's going to be gone. That was a weird story. Mekhi Mason is one of the few guys I've ever heard of who committed to a school before his senior year started as a grad transfer.
Wait,
so he's at, I think, Yale. It was a Yale. He's at one of the Ivy League schools.
Oh, okay.
And before his senior year started, he said, I'll be playing my grad transfer year at Baylor. Like, what if Yale and Baylor would have met up?
That's weird.
I think it was Yale. Off the
I didn't realize there. That's how he did it. That's
one of the few guys that I know of who's done that. And I wonder if that's going to be the norm at some point.
Wonder if he just got cocky because he was at the Ivy League. He thought he could do it that way. I'm in the Ivy League school. I'll do it however I want. He's definitely been good at Baylor. They will take on Gonzaga, obviously, in the next round. And tonight at the tournament, if you want to check out some of the big dogs, Duke, North Carolina, also the Houston story continues tonight. Number 3-seeded Houston team, they get their tournament started. Iowa State and Ohio State play tonight, and also the Virginia Tech St. Louis game is a part of your evening set for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it was Yale.
Okay.
Here's the crazy thing, and this is why they knew him. So he was Yale's leading scorer and then led the Bulldogs to their first ever NCAA tournament victory, hitting on 9 of 18 from the field and netting a career high in Yale's upset over heavily favored Baylor. Scott Drew saw it firsthand and said, I'm going to get a hold of this kid.
Wow, that's crazy. That is wild. Good tournament stuff going on. Also, Texas baseball coming up right here on the Horn. Texas and TCU up in Fort Worth tonight. They get it started with Bryce Elder on the hill for Texas. You'll hear it right here on the Horn. And if you're looking for TV, we think Spectrum 319 is the way to go for you for tonight and Sunday. But remember, tomorrow night's game is an ESPNU game as you're following things through the weekend. A couple other quick notes. Chris Sale gets a deal with Boston, five-year extension, $145 million for him. And also, it looks like Danny Manning's going to stay at Wake Forest. And, of course, you got Texas in the NIT on Sunday. Sunday at 3, and that one is here on the Horn.
So we do have Oregon. They're going to get through here. And the seed, I believe, will take on the 13 seed, UC Irvine, who also got through. So you got some Virginia, man. They've been given – we'll see what they do against Oklahoma, but they've got – if they win that, either the 12 or the 13 seed, who they have to face – maybe my Oregon Ducks do have a chance here. Chad.
How about that? They have that, yes.
No, one through.
Got a chance to maybe get that run going. That game is just about to go final, as Kevin mentions, and we're 10 minutes away from the next tip. The Washington-Utah State game is the next tip if you are interested. And if you're looking for a place to watch games, The Rock here in Round Rock, not a bad choice. 114 East Main Street in Round Rock, 250 Miller Lite pints and $3 Coors Light bottles. We've seen both of those walking around the room today. So get on out here and check that out. Got Miller Lite headbands if you want to grab one of those. And if you want to grab some Horn Bash passes, those are here. We thank those folks that have come out to grab those passes. Remember, it's free to get into Horn Bash May 4th, but you got to have the actual pass. So come on by and grab as many as you need for Horn Bash. All right, coming up, we will get you the voicemails if they're there. Want to sneak one in? It's 337-3776. Also coming up in the crap bag, sometimes they can be one of your favorites, but you don't want to see them compete. I'll explain coming up on the Horn.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, a little crap bag for you on a Friday. Let's check the voicemails here, 337-3776. Trey, any voicemails from the good folks today?
Get out of here.
We tried.
He tried.
I mentioned it so much, I just got scared. 337-3776.
You mentioned that joke enough that I number. Think people at least would actually get it and be like, wait a minute. I'm going to get back at Chad. I'm leaving a voicemail.
That's what I'm hoping.
No, I know what you're doing. I know where you're going here.
Trying, yeah, I know. I don't mention it enough.
You're actually doing your job on it, trying. Even though you're trying to act like you're not.
Yeah.
Aha.
It's the story of my life. It's the story of my life.
Easy, Wendy. I don't need any text.
All right. In terms of the crap bag, pardon me for one moment of total nerddom here. But I got to give a quick shout out to one of my favorites who I do not want to see perform at one of the biggest events in their world. This Sunday will be the 54th birthday of The Undertaker. He lives in the area, and us wrestling folk believe that we're about to watch the first WrestleMania in forever where he won't be there, where he's not going to have a match. And Big U, if you're out there, I love you, brother. You're on my Mount Rushmore. You need to watch this one. Not because you're not great, but because they don't need to keep bringing you back and holding on to you and then having it go too far. We don't want to see you guys performing into your mid-50s. Again, you're about to be 54. Again, one of the best of all time for me. Mount Rushmore. I'm kind of looking forward to whatever it's going to look like to have WrestleMania without you. But trust us. We're never going to forget you. Never, ever, ever. Hope you're having a great weekend out there, Mr. Undertaker. All right. As far as other crap bag stuff, and this is people actually punching people in a sport, it is UFC in Nashville tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on the main card. Yeah, it's ESPN+. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson against Anthony Showtime Pettis. Interested in seeing Pettis at 170 instead of 155. That looks like, and hopefully Stephen Thompson will not put the performance out there that he did in maybe the worst championship fight I've ever seen in my life. So hopefully that will be a good fight tomorrow night. Also, heavyweight Curtis Blaydes is on that card. That is on ESPN+. All right, in terms of a couple other birthdays for this weekend, Kevin, this would be an old school that I think maybe Bob Dunn would know. We'll see if you know it. I always miss this one. I always screw this up. But Jaws has a birthday tomorrow. Ron Jaworski will be 68 years old. You and I saw him play like right at the end of the career and everything. Ron Jaworski, old school?
Yeah, I remember hearing it before. Never committed to memory. We're tight on time. What is it?
Yeah, I guessed Penn State. It's that area, Youngstown State.
Youngstown State.
Is Ron Jaworski.
Pitt was in my mind for some reason.
Also, one of my favorite little sports birthday facts is that Peyton Manning and the idiot kicker have the same birthday. Peyton Manning and Mike Vanderjack share a birthday on Sunday. So happy birthday to both of those guys coming up on Sunday. Also, one of the great Longhorn basketball players of all time will have a birthday Sunday. Happy 36 to T.J. Ford coming up on Sunday. And if you haven't checked out Brad Kellner and the Longhorn basketball lottery situation, T.J. is, what is he, an $8 product?
There's only two $8, and he's one of them. Yeah. Durant's the other, but yeah, TJ is the most impactful player Texas has ever had. He has tweeted this this last week. Without him, then you don't get your best NBA player of all time, which would be Kevin Durant. I don't really care about that. I don't care about if we have great NBA players. I care about wins at Texas and what you do at Texas, and TJ's the guy.
So has anybody looked into, after we had JD on yesterday and he threw out the strategy of a $0 player, has anybody looked into the strategy of go TJ and Kevin Durant and then whatever else happened, you sort of then build three other guys around it?
Yeah, I've seen that. In fact, I've seen that doing that and then getting a $2 guy and two $1 guys.
Okay.
You got $4 to spend at that point.
Yeah, that may be a path I would take, especially if I can get those two guys and my personal favorite, Royal Ivy. What's Royal, a two or a one?
I don't know.
Maybe a $1 situation. That's what I'd do. I'd start with those three and then work in maybe another two in the situation. But happy birthday to T.J. Ford on Sunday. Hope he is doing well. All right, there's a crap bag for you on a Friday. We are out early today, 6:15 pregame, 6:30 on the first pitch for Texas and TCU. In terms of the tournament tonight and the weekend, any of these second round matchups that have been created that you're particularly excited about, or anything tonight that you're looking forward to in the tournament?
Well, I mentioned multiple times Murray State, Florida State, so I'll avoid that one. Houston, maybe. I want to see what Houston does. We'll see if Ohio State wins that tonight. But I do like Houston, very guard oriented team. What other second round matchups could maybe be something? Tennessee, Iowa is the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one could be good. Wonder if the Wofford kid can shoot well enough to scare Kentucky a little bit. I don't know if that team has enough to give Kentucky anything.
Well, I think the biggest thing is Washington. I was reading earlier, Washington most likely will not play in that game, so it's going to help them out. If you haven't seen this guy, he's a force down low as a true freshman. So he's going to be out probably with the foot. So if they've got a shot, they're going to have to hit and hit from the outside.
So I guess they haven't specifically said what the idea is, but I guess it's just try to get him that extra rest and go Sweet 16 with P.J. Washington. Hopefully he won't be out too long. But, yeah, Calipari did say that if he had to guess, he would say that he will not play in that second round game. Evening set is just about to get started and just getting started now at the tournament, the Utah State-Washington game, an 8-9 matchup just underway. As I mentioned, Texas baseball coming up with the matchup with TCU. Longhorns in their second conference series going up against the Horned Frogs. And I mentioned earlier the TCU pitcher, 46 strikeouts and only 7 walks so far this season. Bryce Elder, it's kind of back to that normal set for the Texas fans that obviously went through that 2-game set with Arkansas where it seemed like everybody was pitching when they needed that to happen. Now that you go back to the normal set, Bryce Elder, Blair Henley, and then Coy Cobb going back into the Sunday role. All right, it is the Horn, and we're here at The Rock, 114 East Main Street in Round Rock. Anything we haven't hit today? Anything we've missed today?
Probably a couple things. One thing that that mock I was looking at, that, and this would worry me a little bit. I mean, I would think Little Jordan's going to go late, but I mean, he could also. It surprised me. He wasn't drafted in this one. This is a 7-round mock.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't see his name. Maybe I missed it, but he's going to be a guy who's just going to. He's not going to be happy, I think, after the draft, and I can understand where he's coming from. I think he's going to be a lot more valuable than where he's drafted.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you the on the value thing for him. As you say, if he's not drafted, that feels like incredible value if you get a guy like that undrafted. But for me, I mean, God, I think if you're getting a talent like Little Jordan Humphrey, if you're getting him in the fourth round, I mean, that feels like value to me. Now, maybe I'm too close to it because
I'm paid to cover the team, and I've watched him, but that feels like value to me with what I think he can be in the NFL.
Yeah, and you can look at value two different ways, and they do. The value you're talking about, I get it, to where you'd say, well, what if someone else was going to take him in the fourth round? Or we're really worried about someone taking him. Well, and you feel like he's going to be better than a fourth-round player, and I think he will be, then there's value. But then there's also value during the draft and understanding is if no one's going to take him in the next couple of rounds, we're being an idiot right now probably taking him.
Yeah, that's true. Because you can't go too crazy too soon in the draft, and maybe it all depends on what's happening in that situation. I'm hoping that he does, and maybe something will happen at the pro day next week to get a little extra attention. You would imagine there'll be all kinds of NFL folks out there next week getting ready for pro day. We're 5 days away from the Texas pro day. All right, coming up a little bit of a 6 o'clock hour because it's Texas baseball at 6:15, 6:30 on that first pitch with Texas at TCU. Get on out here to the Rock if you haven't been. It's my first time out here. Pretty cool. 114 East Main Street in Round Rock. We've had the Horn Bash passes. Remember, those are going to be available at all kinds of different locations. Stay tuned for where you can get your Horn Bash passes. They got more coming up here on the Horn.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
I'm walking.
All right, let's go. Hour number four on the Horn. We are just about done here. It's not going to quite be an hour because of Texas baseball. 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch.
Y'all have a great
for
night,
Texas
all right.
And TCU. Some nice folks coming up to say hello.
So this is funny. We always get mixed up a lot. People come up and be like, which one's old school guy? Which one's that? Which one's Jewish mom voice and all that? And she just came up and she's got a computer. She was looking at you and saying, you followed Kobe Curlin. And I was like, I doubt it was him. I doubt this guy. I go, I'm the Kobe Curlin guy. Apparently, it's Kobe's birthday.
Oh, is that right?
112 walks in 1985. I believe it's still an NCAA record.
There it is. There it is. Look at that. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, we get mixed up all the time. All the time. That's awesome. All right. Thanks to them to come up and saying hi. Also, Charlie came by to say hello earlier. Will just came by and said hi and brought his cute daughter by. And she said hello to us as well. So good to see all the folks out here in Round Rock, 114 East Main Street. First time I've been in here. The Rock. Had you been here before today?
I had not, no.
I'd never been
on Main Street, and I don't think I'd been in here. If I would have been, it would have been as a kid, but it would have been a different establishment. So I was talking to a couple people. First off, everyone is so friendly here. This is a really good environment, and I like Main Street. I really do. Maybe it's because it's my age, but was laughing with Jared earlier. They live around here, he and his wife, and he said, you know, we're at the age now where this is fun. There's a vibe still, and you can feel the vibe on this block, but it's not downtown Austin.
Not too crazy.
Yeah, which boy, I put my time in. I paid my dues down there, so I'd rather – this is more my vibe right here.
You've been.
I've been.
You've been.
I've been.
You have absolutely been. Yeah, you know, it's a great downtown. You're right. My daughter loves the candy shop that's right across the street.
Right next to a tat shop, which I thought was cool.
Yes.
Well, I didn't expect to see a tat shop. That's some growth.
And ironically, my daughter's first tattoo was an ice cream cone. No, that's not true.
Oh, God.
That's not true. Not true. She doesn't have a tattoo
I didn't know if
yet.
It was a fake one, though, because they do the fake ones, don't they?
She's had some fake tattoos.
Okay.
Yeah, she's had those. But, no, she loves that that candy shop. If you haven't checked out downtown Round Rock, definitely give it a shot. Also, thanks for those that have come out to grab the Horn Bash passes. Those are available now. And wherever we pop up, whether it's our show or any show, you'll be able to get some Horn Bash passes. Also, there's a little secret real quick, but I'm going to go have dinner tonight at Louisiana Longhorn. I might have some Horn Bash passes if you want to stop by.
Oh, nice.
Might have a couple to give away in the next, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours or so.
Now, where is that
that is
around here?
Up this way. This same side of the street, just up that way. So that'd be, what, west?
East.
Yes. East, same side of the road, just past the next intersection. So that would be good. And throughout the afternoon, thanks to the folks at Miller Coors for coming by. We've had 250 Miller Lite pints and $3 Coors Light bottles. while we've been out here. So it's been good to see everybody. And, again, a nice night at the tournament where some of the big names and the big teams will be involved. It may not get close games with teams like Duke and North Carolina, but we'll see how they look. And then also Houston, this story with Kelvin Sampson. I mentioned it the other day about these three seeds. How will Texas Tech and Houston perform as three seeds? Tech looked great today. Let's see what Houston looks like. They got very little challenge in the AAC tournament. Now let's see how they can perform in the tournament.
Didn't they lose the finals?
They, I thought they won the final.
I don't know. Check. Well, I don't know if we can check on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, we have our internet's right been weird. I thought they rolled all the way through that. I may be wrong.
May be wrong too. That's why I thought maybe they had lost that because it didn't matter either way. They were going to be a three either way. It felt like, they did lose that 69-57 to Cincinnati.
Okay. Maybe that was it. Maybe I was thinking of the I saw a little bit of maybe the quarter or the semi, so that's my bad.
Well, no, but it didn't matter to them either way. And so I don't really take much stock in that. This is a guard-oriented team. It's a fun team to watch. If you're looking for maybe you're kind of more old-school basketball and you're looking for some of that, I think you'll see it. They will shoot the three from what I've seen, and I've only seen them minimal times, but it was fun. I mean, I was like, all right, this is the type of team I can get into. So I hope they advance. I was glad to see Tech advance, and hopefully we'll get some good matchups this weekend.
Before we get out of here, another reminder, Sunday afternoon at 3 is the Longhorns and Xavier in the NIT. And, of course, if Texas can win, they can stay at home until Madison Square Garden since Alabama lost. In terms of what you're seeing – but online, maybe people you talk to, Longhorn basketball fans, do you get the sense that most of them have decided one way or the other what should happen with Shaka Smart? Or is there also a group of them where they're willing to watch? They're willing to watch this NIT and say, okay, I can make a decision off of this.
Well, generally people that are displeased or upset with something will be more vocal. And in today's world, what that means is getting on social media and really letting people know how you feel, right or wrong. So I'm certainly not judging that. I'm sure I've done that multiple times as well. But so the answer would be, obviously, I've seen a lot of people say they want him gone. I don't know if people that want him there are just not speaking. I'm sure that there's a segment of Texas fans that are there. I know there's a segment of Texas fans that are just apathetic and don't care about it enough.
Yeah, there's definitely that group.
That if it was football or baseball, they would be on CDC's ass, but it's basketball.
I saw some of those people not...
In 2019, so they understand the product as a whole.
Yeah, I saw some of those people not at the Irwin Center in the last game. Those
yeah, right, yeah.
Speaking by not
a lot of
up,
them,
right?
They were somewhere.
In a way. All right, Brian Fitzgerald producing the end of our show and the beginning of baseball. Brian, how much time we got here? We about done?
Yes, here we're 90 seconds away.
All right, let's go one last thing here.
One last thing.
Pittman! And Texas baseball coming up, 6:15 pregame, 6:30 on the first pitch. And tournament winners today, Buffalo, Texas Tech, Virginia, Oklahoma, Oregon, UCI pulled the upset, Iowa, and Tennessee. Setting up some interesting second-round matchups. We'll be back on Monday next week. UT Pro Day is part of it. Also, the NFL may throw some rule changes at us next week, and we'll see what the weekend looks like for baseball, obviously for the tournament. We'll come back Monday and review all of it. Thanks to the folks here at The Rock for having us out, 114 East Main Street. If you want to check it out, thanks for that as well. Thanks to Joe for getting us all set up. Thanks to Trey Elling for producing back in the studio. Thanks to Kevin, of course, and thanks to you for listening. Have a great weekend. See you.
Nah. Chuck and Joaquin.